This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm Melissa Moretti.
And Melissa, on the show today, we have one of those industry good guys. We have Dan Smith joining us today from Reliance Properties.
Sounds like a good guy.
He's a great guy. Like I said, he's one of those guys that's been in the industry. He was started in the brokerage industry. He's worked his way now. He works in-house for a developer that also has a very large office portfolio in Vancouver, which we're going to dig right into,
okay. Which
is an all-around like good guy. Like, you know those people you meet where you're like, yeah, I really want to go for a beer with that guy? That is Dan.
Just a good vibe guy.
That's Dan. So we have Dan on today. We're going to dig into what does the future potentially look like of Vancouver office? What is important to tenants? And surprisingly, the portfolio that he manages and oversees, a lot of people think the vacancy rates are really high. He's going to debunk that in what he does.
Okay.
He's got a great portfolio he oversees for Reliance.
I want to hear it.
That these guys, all that stuff. So it's tremendous to have on Dan. But Melissa, I wanted to ask you, so we're anticipating, hopefully we're getting another rate hold here. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of uptick in the commercial side of things, prepping for 2024.
Yeah.
What's happening on your side? Is there that buzz in the air that we're feeling that people are kind of like, they're waiting to 2024, but people are getting ready to go?
Yeah, I think you're hearing a little bit of a buzz, but you're not seeing the action of the buzz. The buzz is floating around, definitely not too much happening. I think a lot of people are getting ready for Christmas.
Do you feel that it's coming next year? Like, are people talking? Like, yeah, in commercial, we've seen a massive uptick mid-October-ish, which I think just goes to the talk about the stabilization of rates is what we kind of been preaching, where a lot of people, I think, are just looking for what's next and where are things going before they kind of jump back in.
Yeah.
But we're feeling a lot of buzz around 2024.
Yeah.
So are you guys seeing that on residential where people are talking about listing, people are talking about getting ready to buy?
Yeah, there's always a little bit of a buzz. That's for sure. I think the spring could potentially be a busy market.
So it's going to be a good one.
I hope so.
So if you have a house and you need to list it, they're calling you.
Or if you want to buy, call me right now.
There you go. Even better.
That's right.
Without further delay, let's get to our interview today with Dan Smith of Reliance Properties.
All right, let's go.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
Mark your calendar.
That's right, Matt, because Atlin's grand opening is happening Saturday, September 13th from 12 to 5 p.m. at Zentera Sales Gallery in South Surrey at 2411 160th Street.
Join us for refreshments, food, and live entertainment. And Adam, the Beat 94.5 is going to be live on location.
Atlin is Zentera's newest condo community coming to West Clayton and features studio to three-bedroom homes, starting from just $325,000 and only a 10-minute walk to the new SkyTrain station.
Buy now and get over $50,000 in inclusions. Air conditioning, vinyl flooring upgrade, built-in closet organizers, Samsung appliances with a gas range, washer, dryer, storage locker, and more.
Atlin offers amazing amenities with over 30,000 square feet of outdoor space, including three children's playgrounds, plus a rooftop patio, a gym, co-working space, party room, games room, and even an on-site daycare with priority access for residents.
Just 10% down secures your home with move-in in 2028.
Come down to the Presentation Center on Saturday, September 13th to tour the sales gallery and show home to see what all the hype is about with your chance to secure your own home at Atlin.
Visit atlincondos.ca for more details. That's A-T-L-I-N condos.ca for more details.
All right, we're here today with Dan Smith, Director of Leasing for Reliance Properties here in Vancouver. Dan, how are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us, Dan. Can you maybe let our listeners know a little bit more about yourself and how you ended up at Reliance?
Absolutely. Yep, for sure. I've worked in commercial real estate for a decade and a half. I started my tenure in the industry at Avis & Young as a broker, working primarily in the office sector asset class. But I also got a lot of great exposure to industrial and a little bit of retail and investment as well. So a very all-encompassing educational experience where I was working there for about a decade. And then I think I timed it really well because I left Avison, which is a fantastic company, but I was looking for a little professional sabbatical. And I timed it right before COVID, and I went over to the Vancouver Fraser Port Authority, which is an incredible organization, and my depth of experience and the exposure I got to so many different things as it relates not only to commercial real estate, but also to kind of, you know, some of the economic drivers behind it from a logistical standpoint and a trade standpoint. And then, of course, you know, having exposure and touches with, you know, environmental concerns or regulatory First Nations, Indigenous, there was just a huge depth of experience. So I had 2.5 years there, and my time was just a massive learning experience every day, which I really loved. And then about a year and a half ago, Reliance approached me, and I came over as a senior leasing manager, and I've since ascended to be the director of leasing. And I get a lot of great opportunity to kind of be a bit more than that, just because of the nimble size of Reliance. You know, we're quite a big company, and we punch above our weight. And as a result of that, I get to kind of, you know, work and function, kind of run in some respects a lot of our commercial portfolio. So it's another fantastic learning experience. And I tell you, every day I'm challenged and inspired in a very positive way. So
now, Dan, for our listeners, John's been on our sister podcast there, the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. For our listeners over here, can you maybe let us know a little bit more about Reliance? Reliance is a huge company that I wouldn't want to say sneaky, but you guys own a lot of property. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about Reliance, maybe the both halves of the business?
For sure. You know, I learn more about Reliance every day, but, you know, sneaky, you know, kind of maybe under the radar, you know, we're kind of quietly and very humbly, you know, a relatively large player in the Vancouver market and, of course, the Victoria market as well. It's privately owned, and I think it's been around for, you know, around 60 years. And Reliance has done a really good job, I think, of, you know, taking buildings and repurposing them or upcycling them by, you know, adding improvements and amenities and infrastructure to them, and kind of bringing them forward into the 21st century. And as a result, we've, you know, acquired or accumulated a large commercial and residential portfolio. We are absolutely, you know, an asset manager / landlord, but at the same time, we're also, you know, an acquirer and a developer. And some of our new builds and our projects that we do either for ourselves or with partners is a very exciting facet of our business. So we will build purpose-built rental. We will build for residential. We'll build purpose-built commercial office space and retail space for lease. And we'll also build residential strata projects where we'll sell off the units. So we do a lot of things, and you know, but we also do really stick to that kind of that res and that office. Those are really our core businesses.
So we were out for lunch a couple of weeks back, and we're talking just generally about like the office market out there. And we're talking about some of the exciting projects you guys have on the go and coming up. And I was really surprised to hear about like just how great the Reliance portfolio is, how occupied the Reliance portfolio is. And we wanted to bring you on because I think right now a lot of people think the office market is all but dead. And we will definitely preface this with it's definitely more challenged now than it ever has been. But also Vancouver was just a very unhealthy office market pre-pandemic for tenants because the vacancy rate, depending on what report you read, I think was the lowest in North America for office. And we're not typically a head office city. And so much of our land downtown has been absorbed by residential developments versus a lot of downtown cores or office, that when we were talking there on lunch, I was blown away in a very good way to hear how great the portfolio was. And I'm like, we got to talk about this out there, because this is, I think, the opposite to what people think is going on. So can maybe, obviously we don't have to get into the detailed numbers or anything like that, but maybe tell us a little bit more about the Reliance office portfolio, maybe downtown Vancouver, asset class you're in, the types of buildings that you're in, and why has it been, your occupancy rate is phenomenal. Why, what's led to that success?
Yeah, I mean, you've made some fantastic points, and there is a lot for us to discuss, you know, in that question. You know, from kind of a broader market perspective that you touched on, you know, Vancouver is not typically a head office city, but at the same time, you know, we've had a lot of success through growing, you know, some of our, from some of our industries, in particular the tech industry. You know, there's a lot of organic technology companies that have grown and taken up space here in Vancouver. I mean, just to pull back and to look at the downtown Vancouver office market, and like you said, for many years, I think the city prioritized residential developments, and there was a lack of office tower projects that, you know, kind of led to a supply constrained environment, you know, as natural demand across all sectors, but also kind of emerging sectors such as technology came to the forefront. So Vancouver really did experience a compression of the availability and the vacancy rate to a very unhealthy point. And if you look at some, you know, nearby markets, you know, or markets across North America or the world, and you compare the number of square feet of office space per capita, I believe Vancouver is quite low given the population base here. If you look at Calgary, I mean, Calgary, I think it's somewhere around 42 million square feet.
Yeah.
Of office downtown, whereas, you know, Vancouver is, you know, a bigger city in terms of population and perhaps diversity of industries. And we have, you know, at sometimes, you know, 24, 20, 27 million square feet. I think right now we're somewhere around 27 or 29 million square feet, you know, depending on how you measure that, if it's delivered today or if it's in development. But, you know, COVID and the pandemic and this shift to work from home has really changed, you know, what's happening across the world in terms of office space. So it's kind of good that our city, you know, is maybe experiencing a bit of a reset. I think Vancouver is doing the best compared to other cities across North America. And, you know, a lot of that, you know, has to do with the simple fact that it's a relatively small office inventory, but at the same time, you know, maybe there are a lot of great real estate minds and great real estate companies located here in Vancouver. It seems like there's a lot of awesome companies based here and that, you know, are taking innovative approaches to, you know, facilitating that, you know, that office experience and that return to work in the office place. And that's really what, you know, a lot of companies, I think, and landlords are having to do and trying to do is to entice workers in the labor force back into the offices by creating a very positive office experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a huge commute, you know, it's a tougher sell. But if you're working out of your condo, if you're a young person, if you're by yourself, you might really enjoy going to the office for that social side, that mentorship, that collaboration that goes with physically being around your peers.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. No, I think I'm a big, I'm a big collaboration guy within our company, and to see the work environments when people are collaborating in person, sharing ideas and what comes of that, I think is unprecedented. That can't be said for the same if you're doing it through computers. So I think you know, sure. Obviously the office market is challenged right now, but I think ultimately into the day we're creatures of habit, and over time as the absorption rate picks up, I do feel very bullish down the road, just due to the lack of office space we have in the city, as you mentioned, per capita versus a place like Calgary, that we will get back to a more balanced type office market. Maybe not as unhealthy as it was before, but more a balanced office market. One thing I think too, that I think a lot of people think office building, they think tall size skyscraper, all glass facade. Can you maybe talk a little bit about the Reliance portfolio and maybe the class of office that you fall into? Because I think that's really, really key, I think, to obviously mm-hmm. how successful you guys are.
Yeah. I mean, and you raised this in your previous question. I'm sorry, I kind of rambled on there and didn't get to it.
No, it's okay. I asked you six questions in one, so don't worry.
Reliance, you know, has a very diverse portfolio, and a lot of our, you know, existing properties, you know, could be classified as C or B, or, you know, I like to call them, you know, A minuses in a lot of places. You know, we have some fantastic locations, and we are, and have been, this is, you know, over many years, have been adding amenities to our buildings to, you know, make them competitive with the office market landscape, but also, you know, to add to that experience for the labor force and for the tenants. So they actually, you know, can go to the building, they can work out at lunch or after work, they can, you know, have a shower, they can ride their bike in, they can lock their bike up and feel safe about it in a secure bike storage facility. So, you know, our portfolio is B and C class. And, you know, a lot of our value proposition has been being able to deliver very premium space in building, the actual suites themselves, at a very competitive pricing. And then our actual management of the buildings, you know, our CAM and our additional rent, we've done a very good job of staying lean, mean, and keeping those rates very low. And if, you know, there's a couple of real estate companies that do analysis of this, and Reliance always has a lot of the buildings that are the most affordable on a per square foot basis based on the additional rent. And that's, you know, one of our value propositions, is that, you know, we can deliver excellent space, but at very competitive prices and very affordable prices. So it has allowed us to keep a very low vacancy rate in our portfolio. And, you know, it's a bit higher than I would like, but I think it always will be, no matter what the number is. So, you know, our success has been that we're delivering great space at great prices.
Well, I think that's kind of the key. And I know we, whether it's Class B or Class C, you know, these are a lot, you have a lot of great like character buildings in good locations. And I think there's always going to be an office market for that Class B type value driven office tenant. When I say value driven, I don't mean like they're like on a budget and they're trying to like skimp. I mean, like, they maybe don't want to pay $50 a foot plus 25 in triple net cost to be in a glass facade building with gyms and a, you mean by, you know, all these fancy amenities. They might want to have an office in a great location that's easily accessible at a fair price for it. Mm-hmm. That also allows companies to expand. Within your portfolio, do you guys find you have a lot of companies that are kind of, I don't want to say maybe in the starting point of their of the company's career, and then they're expanding within your portfolio? Is that a good way to describe a lot of the tenants entering the portfolio?
Yeah, you know, I think our average tenant size comparatively to other, you know, major landlords in this market, our average tenant size is probably on the smaller size, and that allows us to, you know, have a lot of churn, a lot of turnover, and to be able to work with tenants that, you know, if they are in that startup phase, they can grow within our portfolio and they can move around. And we do a lot of shuffling. We have a couple of buildings, you know, some C class buildings that have some very small suites, and we call them kind of our incubator buildings. And there's an unbelievable track record, you know, over the last, you know, 20 years that I've kind of been watching, and perhaps longer, where, you know, we will work with these startup businesses in the, you know, a couple of these specific buildings with smaller suites, and then we will, you know, grow them within our portfolio in nearby buildings, you know, as they have higher headcounts and need more physical space. So I think we've been very successful in doing that, you know, starting with the incubator startup phase and then moving through and all the way through to, you know, mature companies that are taking full floors. And we have many tenants that have full floors in our portfolio, and a lot of them have been with us for quite a while.
Well, I think that's one thing that's key. And I mean, you probably know the office leasing market better than I do, because you specialized that when you were at your time in the brokerage industry. But a lot of the buildings that our company has done over the years that you've seen very low vacancy rates or been very successful at have a smaller suite footprint versus these, you know, newer buildings, which they obviously tried from a cost perspective, it's understandable. They try for the full floor, half floor, quarter floor tenants versus some of these older character buildings. You find, you know, 800 square feet, 1600 square feet. And it gives the tenants the ability to enter the office market as a, maybe a newer business, but then gives them the ability to expand. The point I'm trying to make here, I agree with you with regards to like the smaller suite mix, I think is really key to the office success market right now, versus some of these newer products that are coming out that are trying to get, you know, 8,000, 10,000 square foot floor plate tenants, is definitely going to be a struggle, I think, for the foreseeable future as the shift in the office market continues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you know, if you're doing a new build, a new development, you know, you are absolutely, you know, whale hunting. You're looking for those multi-floor tenants, anchor tenants that will, you know, take up a big chunk of your building. You know, for us, we recently got back a couple of floors at various different times, you know, in one of our buildings, and there were full floor tenants that were departing. And this is dating back a couple of years, but we actually took those floors and, you know, built four suites instead of one. And we found a lot of success in, you know, kind of targeting the demand in the marketplace in that kind of, you know, 1 to 2 to 3,000 square foot range, rather than trying to hunt for the 8 to 12,000 foot tenants.
Yeah, I think that's key. And I think obviously from there's a cost that goes along with it. But I think if you kind of pencil out the long term on that cost, it's worth every investment right now to do this versus sitting on that vacancy. Because vacant space is very expensive. If you're carrying a mortgage that may not be the best mortgage right now, and then you've got op costs you got to cover, property taxes aren't coming down, insurances aren't coming down. A lot of people forget how expensive vacant space is. So I think it's smart concept to demise these larger spaces into smaller spaces, because you're typically, I guess traditionally you'll get a better price per foot for smaller as well. But that's money that you're going to be dumping into a big tenant anyways after you find them 2 years down the road. And that two-year vacancy is very expensive. Dan, one thing I also wanted to touch base on, you guys obviously have a portfolio of properties also in Victoria as well, outside of like the Lower Mainland here in the Greater Vancouver area. We obviously are very bullish on Victoria. We talk about it a lot on the show. I'd be interested to get your take between the Vancouver and the Victoria markets, maybe looking at from Reliance's standpoint. Where do you see, what are your thoughts, Victoria versus Vancouver, maybe in the office sector and within your portfolio?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic question. And I will state that I must admit, truthfully, I'm much more familiar with the Vancouver market than the Victoria market. And that's simply a function of, you know, where I've spent my career my physical location. But we love Victoria. You know, we think it's a great city and a great opportunity for people to live and to people to work. You know, it offers a lifestyle. And, you know, it's incomparable to most places on the planet. So Victoria is gorgeous and beautiful, and it makes people want to be there. And if you ever go and visit, you know, for the weekend, you know, you're probably thinking, hey, you know, I can't wait to get back here. At least that's how I feel every time I go over. So, you know, we feel quite bullish in the Victoria market. You know, we have a lot of active developments over there. We have some very extremely well positioned, location wise projects and properties. So a lot of our portfolio is very strong over there. So we love Victoria. We're very excited. I must admit, though, I do know Vancouver a lot better.
Yeah, no, I think your point of going to Victoria and then leaving and be like, I can't wait to go back, I think is very, very true. I think a lot of people experience that. I think a lot of companies obviously are looking at it. And with this new, I mean, people obviously have repositioned maybe where they live because of COVID, the emphasis on livability, and the island's been a big recipient of that. I know one thing that our office team or our William Wright office over there, you mean the vacancy rate in a lot of the buildings they go after is a lot lower than I think a lot of people think. And I think it's just a combination of not a very big market size of product to pick from with a rapidly growing population. One thing, Dan, I'd love to pick your brain on. You guys are obviously probably seeing the pick of the litter when it comes to a lot of the deals, just with the size that Reliance is. Are you guys seeing an increase of deal flow coming to you, maybe because other companies aren't as well positioned financially as Reliance is, where opportunities are presenting themselves now that maybe you didn't see 2 years ago? And that could be a function of the market or interest rates.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. You know, I'm not really sure. You know, I think that, you know, we get a lot of deal flow that comes our way for a variety of reasons, but I think truly it's our value proposition.
Yeah.
Which is that we can deliver, you know, very high quality physical space, you know, on time. We do a lot of stuff kind of on spec, you know, because they're often smaller suites. You know, we're not having to build out a full floor. So if we do, you know, a quarter of a floor, you know, renovate a suite and bring it up to the 21st century, you know, we've had a lot of success with kind of that just in time, because it seems like increasingly the office demand is, and this is maybe a function of society in general, it's kind of like now. You know, I can't wait 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, I need something in 3 months. And, you know, we're already swinging hammers in space. So oftentimes we find that that's been a differentiator for us. Of course, you know, I mentioned value, you know, like dollar for dollar, what you're getting, you know, it's hard to compete against Reliance on value. I think our value is incredible.
Yeah.
And I think the market likes agrees with me on that, agrees with us. And also just the how nimble our team is. You know, we don't have many, you know, deep layers of having to review and go through approvals. You know, there's no executives sitting in different time zones or different, you know, different cities or countries that we have to get approval from. I mean, everyone's here in the office. You know, I can see all of the senior decision makers, you know, if it falls beyond, you know, my scope of authority.
Yeah.
And then we have a great team on the ground here. I mean, we all have 8 pairs of shoes in our offices because we go through shoes like crazy because we're out beating the pavement, you know, doing showings and going to buildings, and we can react very fast. And that's a function of physically touring, but also, you know, how we do deals. We're lean and mean. We're fast. So
I'd agree with you on that. You guys seem like it's a very productive environment you operate within. I can't say that for all the companies we deal with. You know, you've been in this industry for a long time, as you mentioned. You've been on the brokerage side. You've worked for, you know, government organizations. Now you're working in-house for a large asset company that also develops. What does 2024 look like in commercial real estate in Vancouver?
Yeah, I mean, you know, on an asset class by asset class basis, I mean, you know, I don't know a lot about the land side of things, but I think that that's probably going to be a little bit tricky for a lot of people.
I agree.
Given the underwriting and the pro formas of what, you know, land values need to be given the market versus what vendor expectations are. But, you know, industrial, there's quite a bit of development, which is maybe adding a little bit of relief because industrial has been so supply constrained with relatively large demand. And that's a function of Vancouver's geography with, you know, ocean, mountains and border kind of pinning us, you know, in. You know, retail is its own beast, but I think well-positioned retail will always do well. And then, you know, just if we can pivot to my favorite asset class, which of course is office, 2024, I think is going to be, I think we're turning the corner. I think a lot of employers are, you know, wanting their staff in. And then, you know, if people have worked from home for 2 or 3 years, you know, you may have a hard time demanding them to come back in. But I think if you're doing new hires, I think a lot of companies are going to say, look, this is not a remote job. There may be an opportunity, but there is an expectation that, you know, when management, you know, your direct manager or above, you know, says we want you in 5 days a week, you know, that I think that the labor market is going to be, I think it's shifting a bit. And I think that employers are going to want people in the office. So I think that the office sector is going to stabilize, you know. If we're at 10 or 11 or 12% vacant in Vancouver, which is, you know, a bit of a tenant favoring, but relatively balanced market, I think that we'll probably see a stabilization of that. And then maybe even a return to single digit vacancy. And that might not be till 2025, but I think 2024 we'll see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think that we'll start getting back to a very robust office market with good deal volume and, you know, and people excited to take on great space and to be back in the office because, you know, you could bring your lunch from home every day if you wanted to eat by yourself. But if, you know, the reason that restaurants are busy is because people like being around other people. You know, we're a social creature, humans. So yeah. I think the office is an extension of that. We're going to see an uptick in demand in the office market 2024, 2025.
I'm going to second that because I think I'm a big believer in having people back in the office collaborating and stuff like that. And I think a lot of employers are going to look at that when it comes to retention, that you're going to want people in the office to kind of collaborate and grow. And I think to your point, we're not a head office city. So I'm going to second all your predictions, Dan. But before we let you go there, we got a 6-pack of lighthearted questions we ask all of our guests. We get to know you a little bit better outside of the office. Can we get you to hang around just a couple more minutes?
Yeah, I'm having a great time. So thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Dan. First question up, Melissa.
All right. Favorite vacation spot?
Oh, that is such a great question. You know, I think I'm a water and a sunshine guy. So, you know, going somewhere like Hawaii I was very fortunate. I lived in Australia and on a sailboat in the Great Barrier Reef in my early 20s. So,
wow.
So that's a whole bit. Well, that'll be a different podcast.
I'm like, that's going to be the follow up. We're going to have you back. We're not going to ask you anything, how your portfolio is doing. Tell us all about the black tip reef sharks.
Yeah. I've swam with them. I've snorkeled with them. They're incredible creatures. So I think anywhere where there's sunshine and sand and water, and a little bit of adventure, you know, whether we're, you know, snorkeling or sailing or surfing or whatever. I think that's my favorite vacation.
Excellent. Excellent. So, well, I'm going to second that. I like the Hawaii there. I'm going to go with you on that one. So Dan, you've unfortunately made some mistakes in your life. You found yourself on death row and you're given one last meal before it's all said and done. What meal are you having?
I'm going to have, I hope I don't offend anybody, but I really do truly love grade A steak. And I think I'm going to have a Chicago style New York, you know, done by the Keg or Heise or Gotham, something like that. You know, someone that really knows what they're doing. As much as I love the accompaniments, if it was just the steak, I'd probably be okay with that. But if there was twice baked potato, I'd be happy with that as well.
I'm not hoping you get in trouble, but I want to come join you for that meal. We'll go on vacation first, then we'll come. We'll go on vacation first, then we'll come back, then we'll go for your dinner.
Perfect. Yeah. I'll have you over for dinner one night because
Deal.
I can operate a barbecue pretty well.
All right. That sounds like a deal to me.
I'm not invited, but I'm coming.
There you go. Yeah. Melissa's coming too. Tell the wife we're all coming over.
All right. Next question. Favorite band or musician?
Yeah. I mean, I am absolutely a music head. I love all genres all across the board. I recently had the great opportunity. I went with some great friends. We went and saw Nas and Wu-Tang together at Rogers Arena.
Yes.
On Monday, October 16th.
Amazing.
And, you know, I think it was really cool. It was really well done. So I think, I'm just going to say, I think, you know, probably Nas is my favorite. You know, he's amazing. He's timeless. He's got albums dating to the early 90s. And I think he's released like 5 albums in the last 2 or 3 years that are good and that are listenable, you know, and that are engaging to the modern, you know, the modern me. So,
Nah. Well, you know, what's funny is a lot of guests that we have, rap music, especially 90s rap, is a big common thread between a lot of people in commercial real estate. It feels like, because we ask people favorite band, we've had Mobb Deep, we've had Tupac. We've had 90s rap. If you want to be successful in commercial real estate, you got to be a 90s rap fan. That's what we're kind of drawing the conclusion for. All right, 100%. Dan, next question up. You know, you've had a couple of drinks with your buddies, you find yourself at a karaoke bar. What song are you singing or rapping?
Oh, yeah.
It's a loaded question there.
Yeah, I'm a little bit shy. So I have to pick something that I know.
Okay.
You know, probably off the top of my head, there's something you can belt from Arcade Fire would be pretty fun.
Oh.
You know, like, I don't know, Everything Now maybe, or I don't know, something like that, or maybe The Killers. You know, there's a couple of great songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Brightside.
Mr. Brightside. You can just get up there and just like, you know, let your lungs, you know, open right up. So I think that's what I'm probably doing.
I like it.
Sounds good to me.
All right, next question. What's one book you recommend our listeners read?
I couldn't recommend one. I mean, there's a million great books. Nonfiction, you know, Atomic Habits is a fantastic book.
Great book. Great book.
Yeah, great book. Kind of a fiction based. You know, I picked up The Alchemist once in a social setting, having dinner with some friends very casually, but we were sitting around. I sat there with the group and I just read it start to finish, the entire book.
Wow.
You know, for two and a half hours or whatever. Didn't like, I, you know, engaged as little as possible because I was very enthralled by the narrative and the end message was fantastic. So I like that book. I'm reading a piece of historical fiction right now recommended by a friend called The Religion, set in the 1500s in the Mediterranean. And it's very interesting and it's very engaging. So it's a good one. But there's a local author, John Valiant, and he wrote a book called Tiger, which is set in the late 90s. It's nonfiction. It's incredible. It's set in Siberia, Eastern Russia, about a tiger. And I highly recommend it. I think I've read it 2 or 3 times now. I'll read it 2 or 3 times more again in my life, I'm sure.
Good recommendations. Last question up here, Dan. Something that you've purchased recently for $1,500 or less has had a positive impact on your life.
I think my wife, when I did it, would not approve of this. But now that I've got my hooks into her, I think she would like it. I bought a Nintendo Switch and we bought Mario Kart.
Oh.
I've got 2 young sons and the 4 of us will play Mario Kart. And it's some sort of a social, you know, situation where, you know, we race and we have fun and we all laugh at each other. And, you know, our eldest son is becoming quite the champion. So between the two adults and him, we always have great races. And the little guy, you know, he's still learning, but he has fun doing it. So it's a family thing. So our Nintendo Switch and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the best purchase I've made in a while, under $1,500.
Wow, that's good. We got a Wii at home as well, and the kids absolutely love it. Minecraft is a big, they're kind of 6 and 8 now, so Minecraft's kind of the big one, but I know they're crossing their fingers and they're being really good, hoping that Santa's going to bring them a PS5 this year.
Oh, really? So, how's it looking for them?
You know what? It's questionable depending on the day-to-day. According to my wife this morning, Santa's not coming, so... We're gonna find out, but selfishly, I hope Santa does deliver because I've purchased myself on Black Friday sales here at Best Buy PGA Tour Golf for PS5. So selfishly, I'm hoping you really need that
console.
I need them to behave because otherwise I'm gonna open up a PS5 game that's useless. So we'll see what happens. Dan, for all of our listeners, and thank you once again for your time. This was tremendous as always. How can our listeners find out more about what you're doing over there at Reliance?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a fantastic website with a lot of our existing properties. It's www.relianceproperties.ca. You know, my email address is pretty accessible on that website. So you can find me there. You know, if you'd like to connect, LinkedIn is always great. My name is Dan Smith, and pretty easy to find, I hope. And for people that are, you know, in the industry that I maybe haven't connected with yet, or, you know, some of your younger listeners that are thinking about getting into commercial real estate and they want to meet for coffee, I've got all the time in the world for that. So I'd love to. So reach out, you know, pick up the phone and call me or send me a note by email. And those are usually the two best to get me. You can catch me walking down Water Street, but just to match my pace. I do have places to go, and I don't waste time getting there.
So. And I will say that. How tall are you, Dan? I'm going to go 6'3".
Yeah. I'm going to say a little north of that.
Okay. So 6'4". So not only do they have to keep your pace, but they have to keep up your pace with 6'4" legs. So,
yeah.
So it's a light jog. It's a light jog. It's a valet jog to the car. It's what they got to do if they want to. It's a valet jog to the car if they want to keep up with you. Well, Dan, thank you so much once again for joining us. This has been excellent as always. And as I said in the intro, one of the industry's just all around good guys. We appreciate you taking the time to join us, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
See you guys. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. There you have it, folks. Our interview with Dan Smith, Reliance Properties. Tremendous, tremendous talk. I love talking to Dan.
You're right.
I love that guy.
Good vibes.
He's an industry good guy.
A good vibe guy.
Good guy. I know he was in the brokerage industry. He's now gone to work in house, but he's got a standing opportunity at William Wright. If he ever decides he wants to change, he's got a standing order. He can join William Wright any day. He's the type of guy. But the only thing I will say.
A job offer. We've never had that.
I offered it to him at lunch one time too. the only problem, I think, if we had him work at William Wright Commercial,
you'd have to pay him too much.
No, I just go hang in his office all the time and just talk. And we probably wouldn't really get a lot of business done.
Right.
He's a good guy, good sports guy, all that stuff. Melissa, what else is on the docket for people who want to buy and sell residential real estate?
Yeah.
How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah. You can call me 778-869-4477 or email me at melissa@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
And for all those interested in commercial real estate, you can reach out to me anytime, corey@williamwright.ca. Always love hearing from our listeners. You can visit our website, williamwright.ca, and sign up for the latest and greatest. Or you can call our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255. Let us know what you're looking for, and we'll put you in touch with the best agents with the province.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week with another great episode.
Bye.
Take care.
Subscribe today.